Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour. Now, the Law Hour is sponsored by Truth Radio Network. It's an educational service in the public interest. I'm your host, George Gordon. The Law Hour is heard nationally 7 days a week on Truth Radio and worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and the Gordon Law School, please go to my website. It's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on anti-Semitism right after this message. You know, we Americans are the most litigious people in the world, and we believe in our lawyers with a kind of religious fervor, and we're taught from early childhood that he who represents himself in court has a fool for a client. But what would you say if a plumber said that? What if a plumber said, he who fixes his own pipes has a fool for a client? Or what if a carpenter said, he who fixes his own steps has a fool for a client? Now, doesn't our common sense tell us that a plumber or a carpenter who couldn't fix his own pipes or steps is incompetent? Well, that's why my common sense tells me that a lawyer who can't represent himself in court has to be just as incompetent as that plumber or carpenter. Now, listen to James Nielsen. He's a professor at the Hastings Law School. Here's what he says about the incompetence of lawyers. He said, quote, "It is a fact that a student can graduate from this, the fourth largest law school in the United States, without ever having written a pleading, contract, a will, a promissory note, or a deed. And it's worse than that. Most students graduate from this law school without ever having seen a real honest-to-God pleading, contract, will, promissory note, or a deed. And a student can graduate without having set foot in a courtroom and without ever having spoken to or on behalf of a person in need of advice or counsel. And a student can graduate without once being exposed to the operation of the rules of court. And whatever else may be said about this license issued by the state bar, let it be said that for these students and their clients, it is a cruel hoax." Now, that's Professor James Nielsen of the Hastings Law School. Well, if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, where we talk about lawyers in Chapter 1, why don't you call us at 417-273-4967 and be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and it's free of charge. Remember, courtroom strategy and procedure is also available on compact disc for adult home study. And if you're online, you can go to my website, georgegordon.org, click onto the email, and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, that's free. And the email address, georgegordon.org, click onto the email when you get to the website, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, last time we talked about these anti-Semitic questions, and I showed you the genealogical tables, and we took a look from Adam and Eve on down to modern times, right up to the present time. Where are the Jews today? Well, the bulk of the Jews that are descended from Judah through Tamar reside in Germany, and now there are 60 million of them in the United States. That's one group. But there's another group of Jews that call themselves Jews. Germans call themselves Germans. They don't call themselves Jews. But there's another group in the world, and they do call themselves Jews, and they keep the Sabbath. And it's that Sabbath sign. It's that Friday sundown to Saturday sundown Sabbath that identifies them as God's holy chosen people. And they have taken advantage of it. But we see in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 that there's somebody out here that's calling themselves Jews and are not. And furthermore, it says they do lie. Well, I've never heard a German call himself a Jew. In fact, what they do is they vehemently deny it. I mean, if you called a German a Jew, you know, he'd probably get upset with you. So what is the origin of these people over in Israel, or of these 5 million Jews in New York City? Where did those people come from? Are they descended from Judah? And if they are, how? Now, we saw earlier the ambassador from Saudi Arabia comes into the United Nations, and he said that he could identify his genealogy. He can trace it back to Ishmael from Abraham. He's not a Jew. He knows that. But he is a Hebrew. And that's because all Hebrews are descended from a fellow named Eber. Eber was a progenitor of Abraham. Abraham was a Hebrew. Isaac was a Hebrew. Jacob was a Hebrew. And Judah was a Hebrew. Well, I guess it goes without saying then that the Jews of today, those people that call themselves Jews, are Hebrews. Ah. But that's a deception. That's a deception that is revealed in John 8, verse 41. Do you remember that story? In John 8. There's somebody came in here and they said, well, we be not born of fornication. John 8, 41. And Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. And he was answering the Jews who had just told him that we be not born of fornication. What's that story all about? Well, let's put the pieces of the puzzle together. The Jews of today fall within two main types. They're called Sephardic Jews and Ashkenazi Jews. The Sephardim are also known as Spanish Jews, and they constitute about 5% of Jews in the world. The Ashkenazim are the East European Jews, which were found in Poland, Russia, Germany, and Western Asia. And this group of Jews makes up about 90% of the Jews in the world, or so-called Jews in the world. Many reference and historical sources have unequivocally identified that the bulk of the Ashkenazi Jews are derived from a people known as Khazars. 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 Now, the original Jewish Encyclopedia of 1905 revealed the origin of the Jews from an Asiatic people known as Khazars. Khazars. So the Jewish Encyclopedia gives us the answer. The people of Turkish origin whose life and history are interwoven with the very beginnings of the history of the Jews of Russia. Historical evidence points to the region of the Urals as the home of the Khazars. That comes from the Jewish Encyclopedia, Volume 5, published in 1904 on page 41. Now, the Khazars, who had been following a pagan and sex-oriented religion, had officially embraced Judaism in 740 A.D., while rejecting Christianity and Mohammedism. The Jewish author and historian Arthur Koestler also concludes that the majority of Eastern Jews and hints of world Jewry is of Khazar, not of Semitic origin, in the beginning of his book, where he states the following. The large majority of surviving Jews in the world is of Eastern European and thus perhaps mainly of Khazar origin. If so, this would mean that their ancestors came not from the Jordan, but from the Volga, not from Canaan, but from the Caucasus, and that genetically they are more closely related to the Huns, the Ugars, the Magars, the tribes of the East, rather than the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So Arthur Koestler, then, in his book, The 13th Tribe, don't get mad at me now, Koestler is a Jew. Don't get mad at me. The Jewish Encyclopedia identifies these people. Don't get angry with me. The Bible says, as Billy Graham would say, the Bible says in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. that there's some people out there that are calling themselves Jews and do lie. So these Jews today are not even Semitic. Now here they come along and they say, well, you're preaching hate and anti-Semitism. Well, against who? Well, against us. But these people aren't even Semites. These people aren't even descended from Hebrews. They're not even descended from Shem. But that's not all. You see, the Jews are made up mainly of proselytes. And these proselytes, like Sammy Davis Jr. and Marilyn Monroe and a number of others, they spread a lot of fame and fortune to Jews and Judaism. The Khazars are converts to Judaism. They adopted Judaism for commercial and economic reasons in 740 A.D. You see, their kingdom was straddling between the Caspian and the Black Seas. They controlled the trade routes from the Arab countries of the south to the Christian countries of the north and the west. And because they sat astraddle of that trade route, they decided that they wouldn't be Muslims and they wouldn't be Christians, that they would be Jews, so that they could take advantage of the animosities of both of these groups and be the brokers in between. They did that from 740 to about 1200 A.D. They were proselytes. They were converted to Judaism. These people weren't descended from Judah. They're proselytes. Sammy Davis is no doubt a good Jew or was a good Jew, but he was a Canaanite. He was a black African, a Negro. He was not descended from Judah. He was not a Semite. Now going on, Kostler then devotes the remainder of his 255-page book to prove this premise. And keep in mind now, Kostler is a Jew. I'm getting my information from the horse's mouth, and I have advocated this. If you want to know about Catholics, go to the Catholics and get the information out of the Catholic Encyclopedia. As a matter of law, it's always better to go to cross-examination and get the admissions out of your opponent's mouth. Because if somebody comes to you and says, why, those guys are a bunch of dirty Jews over there, and they're bad guys, and they're doing this, that, and another thing, well, that kind of testimony is tainted. But when you get the testimony right out of the mouth of the people themselves, right out of their own encyclopedia, you know, now you've got it from the horse's mouth. You've got a confession. Now, we know that this is true from other sources. The reason that I want to go to the Jewish Encyclopedia and Arthur Kostler and others is to demonstrate that these people are denying it. These people have written it. So we might as well understand. Hang on, we've got to take a break here. We'll be back with more on anti-Semitism and the origin of the Jews. All right, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Law Hour. I'm your host, George Gordon. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest sponsored by Truth Radio Network. And all of these Law Hour programs are archived for your listening convenience on the Internet at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Well, those who already walk submissively will say that there's no cause for alarm, but submissiveness is not our heritage. The First Amendment was designed to allow rebellion to remain as our heritage. And the Constitution was designed to keep government off the backs of the people, and the Bill of Rights was added to keep the precincts of belief and expression of the press of political and social activity free from government surveillance. Now, I wished I'd have thought of that, but that quotation came from Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas. Now, our princes and politicians beller in the halls of Congress for more taxes, more spending, and more gun control. But you and I haven't heard anything intelligent come out of a politician's mouth in more than 75 years, and that's why I contend that the only real reason, logic, or common sense left in America comes from our courts, not from our political process, the politicians, lawyers, or bureaucrats. Old Mayor Rothschild summed it up with a flair when he said, "You give me the money power, and I care not who makes the law." Well, let me echo that by saying, well, give me the judicial power, and I care not who makes the laws either, because the real power in America is in the courts, not the politics or the political process. Now, if you'd like to tap into that power of the courts, why don't you call me at 417-273-4967 and be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. Remember, that's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. It's entertaining, educational, informative, and best of all, it's free of charge. And courtroom strategy and procedures available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to my website. It's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email. Send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about anti-Semitism. When somebody brings up the subject of Jews or foreign aid for Israel or some negative comment about Jews, Jewish banking, or Jews in general, they're branded with anti-Semitic, racist, hate monger by the very people who call themselves Jews and are not but do lie. And probably the average Jew going to synagogue actually believes that he's descended from Judah, but I guess he hasn't read his own Jewish encyclopedia or Arthur Koestler. It's always fascinating to look at your history. For instance, I looked at the Gordons, and I discovered that I'm descended from that despicable coward, Bruce of Scotland. Remember him? David Bruce, the first Scottish king of Scotland in 1320. Remember the story of Braveheart, you know, and Henry Wallace. Wallace was the brave guy, and he was betrayed by the king of Scotland, the king-to-be, you know, the King Bruce. Well, same thing is true with my great-great-great-great-granddaddy Judah. Now, I'm actually descended from Judah. I've never called myself a Jew. I'm a Hebrew. I practice Hebrew law. But I can trace my genealogy back to the royal families of Europe, the Habsburg dynasty. And here's a surprise. Did you know that Queen Elizabeth is not an English woman? Oh, I know she's got English citizenship and she's the Queen of England, but she's a German and her name isn't Windsor, it's Saxe-Gotha. And in 1917, when England was at war with Germany, it was kind of embarrassing, so they changed their name from Saxe-Gotha to Windsor, the House of Windsor. And you ever notice that all these royal families have lots of names like George Herbert Walker, something, 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 Bush, you know? You ever notice that? They always like to hang a lot of names on themselves, and that way if one of them becomes embarrassing, they just drop it. Now, Queen Elizabeth is a descendant of Judah. To my knowledge, she's never called herself a Jew. But that woman has pedigree, and she's descended from David. She sits on the throne of her father David, who had a covenant or a contract with God, and God told David they'd never want for a ruler or a descendant from David to rule over some portion of the house of Israel. And by golly, she does just that. That's her job. That's what she's there for. She fulfills Bible prophecy. And she's descended from the Pharaoh's line of Judah and Tamar. And George Gordon is descended from the Zerah line of Judah and Tamar. But there was another line. Do you remember that? The other line was the Pharisaical line. And Jesus was constantly having words with the Pharisees. And that's why he made this observation. He said, he answered the Jews who had said to him, "We be not born of fornication." Jesus is descended from Judah and Tamar. And that was the fornication being referenced here. George Gordon is born of fornication. I don't deny it. I didn't have any control over it, but then that's the way life is. So the Jews, they were pretty proud of the fact that they were descended from Shelah, the other mulatto son. Now remember, there's three groups of Jews here, three basic lines of Jews. At the time of Jesus, the Jews who were in control of the country, in control of the nation, Judah, were called the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees. These were the aristocrats. These were the Zionists of their day. And they're the ones that put Jesus to death. Not the average guy going to the synagogue, although there was a couple of run-ins there. Remember, Jesus went into the synagogue and told those people who he was, and they took up stones, took him out to the brow of the hill, and they were going to stone him to death. On several occasions, they intended to stone him, and those were some of the average folks. Basically, the average folks, they weren't a problem. I mentioned at a time or two that my company controller was a kike from the Bronx, he called himself, and pretty nice guy. We had a number of conversations. He never indicated to me that he was racist or hate-monger or anything like that. He was a pretty good guy. The average Catholic does not know about the inner workings and the wickedness and the evil that goes on in Roman Catholicism any more than the average Jew knows about what goes on in the wickedness and the evil hearts of the Zionists. But there's a little bit more to the story. If you've got a pen and paper there, you might want to write this down. Jews come in three groups. The Spanish Jews, known as the Sephardim, are about 5%. The Ashkenazis are 90%. Now, that's 95%. And the other 5% are these Pharisaical Jews who actually have some real claim, a 151st bloodline that goes back to Shelah. Remember, most of the Jews, the Ashkenazi Jews, they're not even Semitic. They're not even descended from the white line. They're from the steppes of Asia. They came from Genghis Khan and the Mongolians. Now, they have been interbreeding with the Slavic nations, that is Russia, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, for many, many generations. And that's why they're called Black Jews. Mayor Rothschild was known as a Black Jew. And he received the title of Baron von Rothschild. Now, Queen Elizabeth is not a Black Jew. She is a Jew. She is directly descended from David. The Black Jews are these Jews who are not Hebrews, who have come into the nobility. And they have been awarded their titles, not by birth, but by having them awarded to them. They're proselytes, people that have been brought in. All right, so you have three groups here. Ashkenazis are 90%. The Sephardim are 5%. And then you got 5% that are descended from Shelah, who are the Pharisaical Jews. And all of these people call themselves Jews. Some of them actually can trace their genealogy all the way back to Judah through the third son, Shelah. That's Judah and his wife, Shelah, the black woman, who has the three mulatto sons, Onan, and Shelah. And remember, Jesus blended right into the crowd. He didn't have long hair. He had short hair. And he looked just like the average run-of-the-mill, everyday garden-variety Jew of his days. And they said of him here, "Aren't you a Samaritan?" They answered that, and "Aren't you from Samaria?" Yeah, he was a Jew. He was a blonde Anglo-Saxon Jew, descended from Judah through Tamar. But he wasn't one of the Pharisaical Jews. He was not one of those descended from Judah through his son Shelah. And that was the controversy, because you see, Jesus was born a king. He was born a king. And the people who were in control, who had political control, saw him as a threat. that he was going to come in and take over their political process. He didn't come for that purpose at that time, and so he told them plainly, my kingdom is not of this world. And they said, well, we don't believe that, and we think you're a troublemaker, and we're going to have you killed. And they did. So there's the three groups of Jews that make up what we call Judaism today. Now, going on, the Khazar government, Kostler then, devotes the remainder of his book, 255 pages, to prove this premise. Now, for instance, a record of a letter by a Khazar king shows that he traced his people to Noah's son Japheth, not Shem, and to Japheth's grandson Togarmah, the ancestor of all Turkish tribes. The Khazar government was destroyed by the Slavs of Russia in 1016 AD. Around 1200 AD, the land was invaded by the hordes of Genghis Khan. These two events caused large numbers of Khazars to migrate to Poland and Western Russia, forming the cradle of Western Jewry. There is an abundance of ancient place names in the Ukraine and Poland which derive from Khazar or Zid or Jew. As the Khazars left their homeland of Khazaria and migrated north and west, they lost their name and became known as Jews. Their Yiddish language is not the language of the Israelites. The language of the Israelites is Phoenician Greek, but an amalgamation of Aramaic, medieval German, Slavic, and Russian dialects. Now, the best historical evidence, therefore, shows that the Jews are not descended from the Israelites of the Bible. They derive much of their ancestry from the Khazars and other people of Turkish Asiatic blood. And the Khazars are also of Edomite stock, and both stocks make up the present-day Jews, as the historian H.G. Wells states, quote, the Edomites were made Jews, and a Turkish people, Khazars, were mainly Jews in South Russia. The main part of Jewry never was in Judea and had never come out of Judea. And according to the Jewish Encyclopedia, the original stock of the Khazars came from the land of Edom. Now, Hashdi ibn Shaprut, who was foreign minister to Abd al-Rahman, Sultan of Cordova, in his letter to King Joseph of the Khazar, about 960 AD, speaks of the tradition according to which the Khazars once dwelt near the Seir Mountains, S-E-I-R Mountains. Now, the Seir Mountains are none other than the original land of Esau, Edom. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. You'll see that in Genesis 36, verse 8. Seir, S-E-I-R, was a mountain range south of the Dead Sea and was also known as the Land of Edom in Genesis 36, verse 21. The Seir Mountains, S-E-I-R Mountains, were the home of the Edomites for nearly a millennium. Thus it should be no surprise that migrants from that land would recall the name of their original homeland. If the Khazars did originally dwell near the Seir Mountains, then the Khazars, and thus world Jewry, are racially of Edomite stock. But how and when did the Edomites get to Khazaria? Now, there's evidence that the 6th century B.C., or in the 6th century B.C., some of the Edomites fled their homeland of Seir and migrated north. After the fall of Jerusalem in 586 B.C., the Edomites began to press northward, we see in Ezekiel 36, verse 5. The extent and the ultimate destination of this northward trek is not found in history, but it's likely that it brought some Edomites to the region of Khazaria. The Edomites were also cast out of Palestine and dispersed in different directions in 70 A.D. when the Romans sacked Jerusalem. Now remember, Edom comes from Esau. Esau is the brother of Jacob. Jacob is the progenitor of Israel. So the 12 tribes of Israel come from Jacob, who stole Esau's birthright. The plot thickens. Now if you take a look and you go back through history, we find that The Arabs believe that they're entitled to the birthright because their father was descended from Abraham and he was the firstborn. His name was Ishmael. So they're trying to take over. They would like world dominion and domination through their Mohammedan religion. And then you've got the Jews. They've been aced out of the birthright because they're the descendants of Esau and the Khazars, and they think they ought to have it because our great-granddaddy Jacob stole it from them. And then, in more modern times, we have the Zarathustra split, which is why all of us Scotsmen and Irishmen have been fighting with the English, because the English Ferrars line has it, and we of the Zara line think we ought to have it. See how these twins being born have stirred up hate and discontent? And how these various births have been engineered through Bible prophecy. I mean, this is working with God himself. And now we're coming to the trans Spanish climax, and finds rule on the back for the closer. You're listening to The Law Hour. I'm your host, George Gordon. The Law Hour is sponsored by Truth Radio Network. It's an educational service in the public interest. Your support of Truth Radio Network and of our advertisers and sponsors is very important to us. So for more information about Truth Radio Network programming, please go to our website. It's truthradio.com. That's truthradio.com. And remember, Truth Radio is a private volunteer organization established as a private charitable trust for the purpose of exercising and defending free speech. Truth Radio is not a 501c3 tax-exempt institution, and donations are not tax-deductible. If they were, we wouldn't be free to tell the truth. So instead, we rely upon the financial support that comes from you, the listening audience, to help us pay for our satellite time, internet audio streaming, and our overhead costs. And we want to thank you very much for that financial support. It comes through your donations that you make to Truth Radio here at P.O. Box 344, Napomo, California, 93444. Again, that's Truth Radio, P.O. Box 344, Napomo, N-I-P-O-M-O, California, 93444. Now, Richard Palmquist bought a number of these little, small, digital AM-FM radios with an 8-band shortwave receiver. It has a clock and an alarm clock. It has an earphone jack, and it will pick up Havana, London, or Beijing, China. Now, I tested it myself. He sent me one, and he said, test this, and if it's any good, recommend it to your listening audience. And I said, I would, and I did. I've had it now for about 2 or 3 weeks. And I've tested it thoroughly, and it runs on AA batteries, two of them, and it's better than the old shortwave radio that we used to have when I was a kid. It picks up Beijing, China, just as clear as a bell. The English language broadcasts that come out of Havana, Cuba, Moscow, Russia, Beijing, China, and the BBC in London, you'll be able to pick up just as clear as if it was the local FM station. Why don't you send a donation in this month, and let's see if we can't balance our books and put this operation in the black. I'm recommending $20. I think it's worth $20 like a shot. And if we could do that, we'll raise that $4,000 for the month of May. We need to hit $4,000 a month every month. The Truth Radio Network, at least my listeners, I've heard Richard say that Truth Radio is heard in 5 or 6 countries. Listen, I receive emails and hits on my webpage from 69 countries, and I keep track of the countries that it comes from. And I have listeners in Japan, several countries in Africa, including South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, almost all of the countries of Western Europe, including Russia, Mongolia, and many countries in the Caribbean, and there's an odd one called the Seychelles Islands out in the middle of the, if you can believe this, middle of the Indian Ocean. Somebody, or two or three or five, I don't know how many, but listen to this broadcast out there in the Seychelles Islands. I think it's dynamite, and I think $20 is a good fair price for it, so why don't you write a check or send a postal money order to Truth Radio and ask for that AM, FM, shortwave, shirt pocket size radio, the digital radio. Hey, listen, here's tonight's wise old saying. It is a scientific fact that crime pays, and every lawyer is a witness to that fact. All right, going back here to our topic tonight, anti-Semitism. The original mixed ancestry of the Jews and their subsequent history of intermixture with every people among whom they have lived and can continue to live. The anthropologist, Professor Carlton Kuhn, has also demonstrated the admixture of the different Jewish types with other races. And he explains that while the Jews cannot be classed as a race per se, they are an ethnic group. He says the Jews form an ethnic group that, like all ethnic groups, they have their own racial elements distributed in their own proportions. And like all or most ethnic groups, they have their look, a part of their cultural heritage that both preserves and expresses their cultural solidarity. They have developed a special racial subtype and a special pattern of facial and bodily expression. So when we talk of the racial mixtures that brought about the Jews of today, we must highlight the events surrounding the Babylonian captivity of Judah, the remainder of the Judah nation, which includes some of the tribes of Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon, were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. But at the same time, Edom was also put under Babylonian rule, causing some of the Edomites to be brought to Babylon. We see that in Jeremiah 27, verses 2 through 7. Now, when Persia overthrew Babylon, King Cyrus issued a decree in 538 BC allowing the Judahites to return to their land and rebuild the temple. Now, these Judahites are the real Jews, the ones descended from Judah. And we read about that in Ezra 1, verses 1 through 5. However, only about 50,000 actually returned to Palestine. We read that in Ezra 2, verses 64 and 65. Some of them had apparently departed to their kinsmen in Asia Minor. Those are the people that migrated on up to Germany. However, many of the Judahites and Benjaminites preferred to remain in Babylonia, become a part of the indigenous population. And those remaining had intermarried with the Babylonians and the Edomites that were in the land and adopted their religion and their law, the Babylonian Talmud. That's what these people follow to this day. They don't deny it. They call it the Babylonian Talmud. It's called the Jewish Babylonian Talmud, of which there's two or three. There's a Jerusalem Talmud and a Babylonian Talmud, which became, and there's also a third Talmud that comes from the Sephardic Jews in Spain. Now, there is then the foundation for Judaism comes from this Talmud. These then became the Babylonian Jews. Then many of the people of the land became Jews, as we read in Esther 8, verse 17. They were converted to Judaism. And this Judaism that came out of the Babylonian captivity is the pagan religion of Judaism today. They follow the Talmud, not the law of Moses or the Bible. Now, although they are called Jews, a term which is derived from the word Judah, these people are not true Judahites or descendants of Judah, but became a mixed or hybridized people consisting of Edomites, Hittites, Canaanites, Judahites, Babylonians, Maccabees, Huns, and Khazars. Now, notice that the Judahites can actually be traced through the genealogical record in the Bible. They have a 151st bloodline. I mean, it is so small, boys and girls, that if we were breeding cattle, we'd call them purebreds. I mean, that's how bred out they are from Judah That's how few Jews today have any blood that came from the Semitic line. These people aren't Semites. These people are Mongoloids. They're not Mongoloids, but Mongols, who come from Mongolia. The same kind of people that live in Azerbaijan and Georgia and southern Russia and so on to this day. That's the type of people they came from. They came from Japheth. Now, when they migrated to other lands throughout the centuries, they remained and retained their Jew or Judahite identity, but brought with them the religion of Babylon, along with the Sabbath on Saturday. And some of these racially mixed Jews were also among the 50,000 who returned to Jerusalem. And as we read in Ezra 2, verse 62, and Nehemiah 7, 64, and Nehemiah 13, 3. Now, because of the Jews' mixed ancestry, history is sketchy as to their origins from Japheth, Esau, and other peoples in the Bible. However, identification of these persons or tribes can also be ascertained by the characteristics and the properties revealed about them in the Bible. And since Esau Edom is one of the more predominant figures in the Bible, we will endeavor to ascertain his identification and his place in historical and current events by these means. Now, Edom was descended from Esau. And the Jews of today are a multiracial grouping of people, totaling about 15 million worldwide. The real Jews of the world today are the Germans, and they live mainly in the United States, 60 million of them in this country alone. Then there's about 60 or 80 million of them live in Germany. And of course, there's other Jewish colonies, German people, that live around the world. If you take a look at the Israelites today, and you number our populations today, and you go back to Numbers chapter 2, and you take a look at the tribes of Israel, you'll find that the Jews numbered 600,000 men. 600,000 was the largest tribe in Israel. And the Germans are the largest tribe of the Israelites in all Israelite countries today. So if you're of German origin, well, you come from Judah and Tamar, and there will be two stocks, two lines. You'll come either from the Pharaoh's line or from the Zerah. Queen Elizabeth is from the Pharaoh's line. Jesus of Nazareth was from the Pharaoh's line. Most of us Scotsmen, most of us Germans, are descended from the Zerah line. I shouldn't say most Germans, I should say most Scotsmen. And that's because the Zerah line left Egypt before Moses and settled in Zaragoza, Spain. Troy, which is over in, it's in Turkey today. I guess it was always in Turkey, but we call it Turkey today. Remember where that famous Trojan horse story comes from? And we migrated up to the British Isles. And we were a pagan nation. We Israelites have always been pagan. There's only been two or three instances in history where we Israelites obeyed our God and kept His commandments, or followed what we call the Mosaic Law today. By and large, we Israelites have adopted the customs and the pagan practices of the pagan nations around us. And we told God that plainly in 1 Samuel chapter 8, that we want a king like all the nations around us. We want to be just like all of the pagans. We do not want to be a peculiar people. We do not want your peculiar Sabbath signs. But these Khazar Jews have taken on the Sabbath sign, and because they keep the Sabbath, that Sabbath sign, they are identified today as the descendants of Judah, the chosen people. And they have played it to the hilt. In fact, I think they actually believe it. But the leadership, the Pharisees, the Zionists, all know better. The rank and file, the average Joe Sixpack Jew going to synagogue next Sabbath, He probably believes that he's a descendant of Judah, whether he is or not. And there's actually some of them that do. But boy, it's very, very... All right, here's the story of where the Jews came from. And I'm taking up right there. Anti-Semitism, more to come. Hang on, we'll be back with the editorial review. We'll do some stories and editorial opinions when we come back. Stand the mic, get a beer, a coffee, light a cigarette. Do whatever it is you do. Great. Come back, we'll meet you there. 5 minutes.